Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I think it's going to be a fun journey together in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Today we do come to bring glory to God, but we get to kind of narrow that focus this morning by bringing glory to God and honoring mothers, because it's the second Sunday in May. It's Mother's Day. Now, as soon as I say that, there's something else that might be going on in here, and I just want to kind of say it out loud. There may be pain. As soon as I say Mother's Day or Happy Mother's Day, some of you feel a pain in your heart. Maybe it's because, like me, your mom is no longer here. She's in heaven, and she's passed from this life into the next, and Mother's Day is painful because you miss her. That's real. I'm not going to downplay that. Embrace that pain. Because God wants to give you comfort in that moment, and you can still remember her. You can still honor her memory by doing the command that Solomon asked you to do today, by remembering her teaching. But some of you are on a whole other level of pain. Maybe you're a woman here today, and Mother's Day is painful for you because you're single, you're unmarried, and you don't have children, but you desperately want to. And you feel like that's God's plan for you, but it hasn't happened yet, and it hurts. Or maybe you're here and you're married, and you've been trying, but you can't be a mother because your body's not ready for that. Or you can't have children. Or it hasn't happened yet. Or maybe you're here and you felt what it was like to be a mom for just a second. Maybe through your pregnancy in those first few days of your young child's life, you lost a child. That's real pain. I want you to know that God loves you. We love you. He sees you as well. And just because we take a day to celebrate moms, it doesn't mean that we are intending pain to be increased in your heart. But I also want you to know another truth. That it's in those moments where we feel the most severe pain, whether it's caused by a certain day of the year or not, where God comforts us the most. In those moments of life, I've experienced, not like you have today on a hurt in Mother's Day, but I've experienced pain, and you know, it's sometimes those moments where I feel such deep pain, in those moments I wake up and realize only God can help me. And so praise Him. If that day is today, and today's the day you turn to Him, guess what's waiting for you? His comfort. He still has a plan for you and a purpose for your life. But today is not just another day. It's not even Women's Day. Today we take an opportunity to look at God's Word and we hone in on that woman who has loved life enough to allow a child to come from her womb. That did the crazy thing to say yes, not only to life, but into rearing that child all its years long. And it doesn't even stop at 18. Some of you who have adult children say amen. Yeah, you know that's right. It's all right. I want to help you out this morning too. Mother's Day is a special day. You know what blows me away about moms, maybe more than anything else, and these women hinted to it in this video, is that balance, that juggling act of being able to take care of home and work and your husband. He's like another child sometimes. Sorry, babe. Right? And your children and the sporting events. In sickness and in health, right? And while maintaining your sanity. I think only a mom can do that. I mean, my poor wife, she's always going through crazy stuff. And her Mother's Day is always on a Sunday, so I'm always working. And this morning, she was awakened on a Mother's Day morning by the symphony of her daughter throwing up. Right? I'm sick this morning. So, happy Mother's Day. Get down there, start cleaning. Our son, he was sick a couple days ago, and just I'm sure it's coming for me too. And so let me look at you moms who are cleaning throw up and other body fluids that you never wanted to. Let me say this. Happy Mother's Day. We, who get the benefit as your children and your spouses, we appreciate you. You know what? I realized that a long time ago, God showed us in His Word a reason to appreciate moms and to show appreciation to a mom and give her a gift that'll last much longer than the over-commercialization that Mother's Day has become. You know, there's a woman named Anna Jarvis who came up with the idea to celebrate motherhood. It was a good idea. So she started talking about it, started campaigning in the early 1900s. And in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson, he listened. And he says, on the second Sunday in May every year, it will be, what today is, Mother's Day. But it wasn't long after Mother's Day was pronounced as a holiday for the world, especially in America, that Anna Jarvis came back and said, you know what, I don't want it anymore. The same woman who campaigned after her own mother's death that we need to celebrate motherhood, as soon as she saw how commercialized it was becoming, in 1914 and 15, she started to be against it. But for 105 years, we still have it. Why? Because despite the over-commercialization, we want to take an opportunity to be reminded as a nation to say thank you to those moms. But I felt like Miss Jarvis a little bit this week. As I was being bombarded by the radio announcements and the internet ads. I mean, it's everywhere this week. And it's like we spend millions and millions of dollars giving into the pressure to make Mother's Day about gifts. Pause. Everybody look at me, especially you dads and sons and, I guess, daughters as well. I'm not giving you an excuse to be cheap. Right? Don't you put that on me. Oh, Pastor Todd said I don't have to buy a gift. Nuh-uh, no, he didn't. No. I'm going to get to something deeper than that. No, I'm just not going to buy her a gift. You better buy her a gift. I'm not telling you not to buy her a gift. I'm just recognizing that Mother's Day has become over-commercialized. It's almost like the nation's telling us it's just about the gift. So let me give you some advice as sons and daughters and children, no matter how old your mom is, that it's the thought that counts. Now, let me pause there again. I'm not giving you an excuse to say, the thought that counts, so I'm just going to call her and be like, thinking about you today, Mom. No, let me be clear. Look, dads, sons, children, buy your mom the gift. Okay, just let me go ahead and just say it. Buy her the gift, buy her the flowers, give her the nail salon gift certificate, do all that. But make it more than just the gesture. You know what it means when you say it's the thought that counts? It means show your appreciation. It doesn't mean that she's going to read into the thought of seeing the flowers and hearing your grunt. What? Yeah, and give her a card that you didn't write anything on. It just said Happy Mother's Day on it. No, if it's the thought that counts, use words. You're like, why is he being so overly clear about this? Because I know guys, right? Sons and husbands, I am one. Use words, even if you're a daughter. Use words. Write those words down. Take a second to sit your mom down when you're not just rushing around. Look her in the eye. Call her on the phone and say, Mom, I appreciate you. I love you. Use examples. Tell her a story of how much you appreciate her. Then the thought will count even more. But long before Hallmark put out a card that said Mother's Day, long before the flower shop had a special Mother's Day bouquet, which I believe you should still buy, the Bible told us how to honor moms. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Stand with me. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Solomon gives us one sure... I love the simplicity of a text like this for me as a man. One point on how you can be guaranteed that you can honor your mother on Mother's Day. Listen with me. Verse 7, Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. That's basically a dad sitting his son down, be like, look at me, boy. I'm about to tell you something important. Don't miss it. What does he say? Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, her teachings are a graceful wreath on your head, even if you don't wear a hat, and an ornament about your neck, even if you don't wear a necklace. This is God's word. Please be seated. Here's what Solomon is telling us. Mothers are to be praised. And I believe the best way to honor your mother is by remembering and not forsaking her teaching. Especially that mom who is a godly mother that taught you the principles about him. That's the mom that Solomon is talking to his son about. Moms, isn't it pretty cool to come to a passage of scripture where the Bible is basically commanding your children to listen to you? Right? You're like, finally, I've been looking for this for years. It's not too late. I don't even care if they're adults. Solomon is commanding. This is a command, not a suggestion. He's commanding your children not only to listen to you with their ears, but to hear you with their hearts and to apply your teaching their whole life long. Do you realize that Solomon is a king? So the son that he is talking to will one day be royalty. Even a king bows his knee to his mother. Honor, respect by listening to her instruction. Solomon not only said this to his son as good words to say, but he lived this as an example. Look on the screen behind me or turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. Solomon, before he's even writing this message to his son, as a king, he literally bowed the knee in respect and honor of his mother. 1 Kings 2:19 says, so Bathsheba went to King Solomon, who was what? Her son, to speak to him for Adonijah, his brother. And the king arose to meet her. That means he stood up. He bowed before her and sat on his throne. And then he had a throne set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Do you see what's going on here? Honor and respect. I mean, there's some pretty good manners taught in this passage of Scripture. Right? Every mom likes to teach her children manners. This is a good example for Solomon given to his son, I think especially to sons. Women as well, and children and daughters as well. But look at what he does here. He's the one sitting on the throne. All day long, people come to Solomon. What are they doing? They're bowing before him as the king. He's probably the most powerful man in the world as a king. We know the Bible tells us that he was the richest man and the wisest man. When his mama walked into the room, what did he do? He stood up, hopped right out of his throne and said, yes, ma'am. And when she came towards him, though he's used to being bowed to all day long, what did Solomon do? He gave grace to his mother, bowed to his mother. And then when he sat down, he said, mom, you sit here where? In the place of honor at my right hand. It reminds me of when my grandfather was talking to me at the dinner table. Grandma had got up to go do something. When she came back in the room, he says, son, when your grandma walks in the room, you stand up. Okay, yes, sir. When someone's speaking to you and you're sitting down, you stand up and speak to them. Look them in the eye, and if they want to shake your hand, you stand up to shake their hand. What are you talking? That's old-fashioned nonsense. I know it's a little thing, but listen to me. It's in the little things that you see respect. It's in the little things that you show respect. And Solomon is therefore not just teaching his son to respect his mother. He has already lived this example for him. Now he goes on to say that, listen, boy, you better obey your mother's teaching. But moms, before we can get to the part of the passage that I really want you to enjoy this morning, where Solomon is commanding your children to not forsake your teaching, I was reminded this week that we have to start in verse 7 because you got to give your children something worth learning if you want them to not forsake your teaching. Just as important as the children not forsaking the teaching is what are you teaching your children? And look what he says here in verse 7. The first thing that a mother, and maybe the most, I would say the most important thing a mother teaches her children is to fear the Lord. This is what he says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Other passages say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Then he looks at his son and says, listen to me, boy, what I'm about to tell you is important. And because his mother lived this, then he could say, do not forsake her teaching. Moms, I know you're concerned with a lot of things for your children, like their education. And education's super important, but it's not the most important. I have a whole bunch of conversations with moms about the educational success of their children. I have lots of conversations with my wife, the mother of my children, about our children's educational goals. Those are worthy conversations, but they're not the most important. The most important thing that you need to be concerned with in your child's life is that they grow up to fear the Lord. You say, okay, Pastor, I'm starting to feel the weight. As a mom, I'm supposed to teach my child to fear the Lord. Could you help me out and tell me what that means? Don't feel dumb. I ask that question a lot when I'm in the Old Testament and I come to this. What does it mean to fear the Lord? There's a lot of confusion about that word fear in the context of passages like this. So I was reading Martin Luther this week, and he actually helped me out. He says, you know what? There's two types of fear. The first one is the most common, but it's not common to this text. And then the second one is uncommon, but that's exactly what Solomon's talking about in his text. The first kind of fear is that kind of fear that you feel when you're watching a horror movie. Why? Because any good horror movie, although I don't really like to watch them, I get scared. You get scared because you feel like you're in the movie. So you're running from the monster and you're afraid because you don't want the monster to catch you and kill you. That's called terror. That's not what Solomon is talking about here. To be a little bit more serious, this would be the kind of fear or the emotion that a Jew would have felt when captured by the Nazis and taken to a concentration camp. That's fear. It's the kind of fear that a man would feel as he was robbed from his African home, put on a slave ship, and sold to another man in the Americas. That's called terror. Moms, listen to me. That's not the kind of fear that you're trying to instill into your children. We are not teaching our children, moms or dads, but I'm talking to moms this morning, you're not teaching your children to be terrified of God. Because the common denominator in all those examples that I gave is that evil was going to be done. God does not desire evil for your children. He doesn't want to do evil to them. Caveat. Should your children, moms, be afraid of God if they do not have forgiveness of their sin through a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do your head like this. Yes. But it's different. You're not teaching them to be terrified of Him because He wants to do evil to them. No, you're teaching them the fear, the consequences that they're earning for themselves by not surrendering to Him. So that's the first type of fear, terror. That's not what you bring into a home. I've seen that in a home before. Sometimes through moms, but mainly through dads. Scare tactics, abuse, uncontrolled, unbridled anger. You know what that creates? Not a loving relationship with God. You may be so afraid of Him as a child that you may say, okay, I'm going to go to do this church thing because I'm terrified of God. But you know what happens at that first taste of freedom? Instead of drawing children closer to God, it usually sends them running. We call that legalism and fundamentalism. We don't teach our children to be terrified of God. So what's the second type of fear that Solomon is using here? I like to use the word healthy respect for. That's what Solomon is talking about. A healthy respect for the majesty of God. Another good word is to be in awe of His power, His might, and His glory. See, it's like standing at the foot of a 100-foot waterfall, at the base of it, and the water's just crashing down. It's so loud, you can't even hear yourself think, much less talk to the person next to you. Is that waterfall dangerous? Yes, it is. But what are you thinking about? It's beauty. You're stepping back a little bit, but you're in awe of its beauty, its power, its majesty. In a much greater way is God. Moms, you teach your children to have a healthy respect for and be in awe of God, His character, His power, His majesty. Not to be terrified of Him. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, but Pastor Todd, I know that's one attribute of God, His holiness, His greatness, His power. But hadn't He made a way for us to come to Him through Jesus Christ? Yes, He has. But that shouldn't create a spirit of pride or arrogance in your child. We should never come to God, even though we can come to Him in freedom through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross that we have access to through the resurrection. We should never come to Him with a cavalier or flippant attitude. We should still come to God in awe of His majesty, reflected on His holiness and His greatness. By the way, this is why you discipline your children. What do you think you're teaching your children when you let them run all over you? There's no accountability. They do what they want, and they push you around. You're teaching them not to have respect for authority. And if they learn that from you, don't think for a second they won't struggle with seeing God as an authoritative figure in their life. You can't let your children run all over you. God doesn't let them run all over Him. They're not the boss of God, and they shouldn't be the boss of your home. We teach them discipline, but we also show them love and mercy and grace. So you teach them discipline by showing them discipline. You teach them holiness, give them a picture of God's holiness, but yet you also teach them about Jesus and God's love, His mercy, and His grace, which, by the way, you can also show them things in your character. Which leads me to maybe the most important aspect of teaching your children to fear the Lord. You teach them to fear the Lord through a surrendered relationship to Jesus Christ. Now we got the whole picture. You teach your children about God's holiness, His power, His justice, His greatness. Then they see a need for forgiveness of their sin. They see a need to be in fear of the Lord and His greatness and His power. Then you let Jesus come in through His love, His mercy, and His grace that He paid the price for them on the cross. He died in their place, absorbing God's wrath. He rose from the dead. If they would repent and believe, now they can have this humble, yet daily open relationship with the King of the universe. I know that was fast, but in summary, that's what it means to teach your children to fear the Lord through a surrendered relationship with Jesus Christ. Moms, nothing's more important than that. Nothing. If you don't teach your children anything else other than to fear the Lord through a surrendered relationship with Jesus Christ, you know what you've given them? Everything that they need to survive. Because now God can speak to them. His word can guide them. Yeah, there are other things that God wants you to teach them, but if that's all you do, that's enough. But let me flip that on its head and let me show you where the conviction's going to come in. If you, on the other hand, give your children everything that the world has to offer, all of their physical needs, and because you live in America, all of their physical greeds, right? Every phone that they've ever wanted, their first car being a $70,000 vehicle, even though you probably shouldn't afford it. You know, I could go on and on. I'm not saying those are evil examples, but I'm saying those types of things can be evil in your children's life. That's not just what we teach them by giving them everything that they want. We bring them to God and His glory and His standard by giving them what they need. Because let's say you do give them everything, all the right stuff, you get them into the right schools, you make the right relationships for them, and you do everything that a human child could ever want, and you give them everything in this world that you say that they could ever need, but you don't give them the fear of the Lord through a surrendered relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what you've actually given them? That's right, nothing. I'm just going to pretend that baby said nothing. Nothing! Nothing they really need. Why? Because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And everything minus Jesus equals what? You answer. Nothing. Teach your children, moms, to fear the Lord. And then now we can command your children, if you start there, to listen to everything that you taught them about Him, and then all those other lessons in your life. Right? Like to change your underwear and to take a shower and to brush your teeth. Those are all built on the foundation of fear in the Lord. Teach them how to work hard. Teach them how to bake or to do math or to get a successful job or to be a good mom or a good dad themselves, to be successful in the world, how to rear their own children. All those things you teach, but it starts with the foundation of fear in the Lord. In fact, teaching your children to fear the Lord continues their whole childhood and into adulthood. I hear some people say, I can't wait till my child's grown up because parenting's going to be easy then. You know, all those laughs, they're from parents who have children who are adults. After talking with those parents who have children who are adults, I could make the argument that it's just as hard to parent adults and maybe even harder than parenting children. But see, the reality is, parenting adults is not harder or easier. It's just different. And no matter what their age is, mom, you have to teach that child to fear the Lord. I was thinking about parenting into the adult years. And something crazy happens in our society sometimes today. Yeah, sometimes we give them too much when they're young and we baby them and we don't teach them the fear of the Lord. But I also see that sometimes when they become adults. You know that teaching your child to fear the Lord even when they're adult means you help them to choose God's will above their will their whole life long? But parents don't always do that. Sometimes when a parent sends their child away, launches them into adulthood, and they get married, a parent will choose the child's side more than God's side. Do you know how many parents, after counseling couples, get involved into their adult child's relationship and it hurts them instead of helps them? Do you know how many parents that I know, don't be this parent, that plants seeds of doubt in their adult daughter or the adult son's life that actually puts them into opposition against their spouse and against their family? And they even say things like, you don't deserve that, you shouldn't have to put up with that, maybe you should divorce him, or maybe you should divorce her. And I'm not even talking about issues like abuse or infidelity, I'm talking about the low-level stuff. Don't be that parent. Instead of talking about divorce, why don't you pay for marital counseling? Instead of supporting things that God is against, why don't you support things that God is for? Teaching your children to fear the Lord is by teaching them to surrender to God's will more than their own, even when it's hard for you to watch. Okay, I'll get off my hobby horse. Right. Moms, teach your children to fear the Lord. And then children, let me talk to you for a few seconds, the rest of our time together. Remember what your mom has taught you. That's what Solomon is saying here in verses 8 and 9. He speaks to his son about his mother's teaching. And what does he say? Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a wreath to your head and ornaments around your neck. The word forsake means to cast aside. The word forsake here means to walk away from or to forget. You want to honor your mother today? Remember her teachings in your life. Especially the godly teachings that she taught you, like to fear the Lord. But remember all the things that can be useful. Some of you right now are struggling to not forsake your mother's teaching because she wasn't a great mom to you. You're struggling to think of the good things that she taught you. I promise you, they're there. They can even be there in the bad things. She can teach you what to do, but also you can honor your mother by not doing the things that she shouldn't have done. That's still not forsaking her teaching because she's always teaching you something. But especially those things that are good and godly, which Solomon is honing in on here. So what does it mean to remember and not to forsake our mother's teaching? It means exactly what it sounds like. Take what she taught you with you, even when she wasn't the best example for you. But no matter who your mother was and how long she kept you, maybe even you're adopted, there's one thing at the very genesis of what it means to be a mother that you can take with you today. All of you are here today because your mother had, on some level, a love of life. Your mother could have aborted you. And if you were born after 1972, it would have been legal for your mother to murder you in her womb. One of the teachings that we can all agree together to celebrate is her love for life. And we can celebrate her by loving life like she did and supporting life in this world. That's why we're selling those shirts, the two every minute shirts. It's a horrifying statistic that two children are aborted every minute in America. We're trying to do something about it. Supporting ministries like First Look that allow a mother to see the child in her womb through an ultrasound as she's considering abortion. You can love life like your mother loved life and allowed you to be here. But then it goes way past that, doesn't it? Your mother not only had a love for life to allow you to be here, but maybe she also taught you to tie your shoe. Something simple, right? You still tie your shoe today. Maybe she taught you math or baking or whatever. Those are great practical things to teach you. Someone in the first service said, my mama taught me to always wear clean underwear because you never know when you're going to be in a wreck. I'm like, well, okay, take it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's practical things that she taught you, and there's probably a long list of those. Honor her by not forsaking those, but maybe it wasn't even things that she said. Maybe it was how she lived. I think about my mom. She really only had like a direct influence in my life till I was about 10 years old. Because at about the age of 10, multiple sclerosis had wore her out, and she had to be put into a nursing home at the age of 30. But I can remember those years before she was in a nursing home. She would have this Bible study with our neighbor, and I can still remember her walking across the lawn every week, sometimes multiple times a week, and she had this old, big, green paperback Bible in her hand. You know what that taught me? It taught me that a good Bible is a used Bible. Even when she went into the nursing home, she taught me things like faithfulness, because she loved Jesus. She taught me meekness, perseverance, and strength. All through an abiding relationship with him. She died when I was 21 years old. You know what she's still doing? She's still teaching me today. Because I'm not forsaking the instructions that she gave me by embodying that into the future. But maybe for you, also like me, it was a mother, but maybe it was also a mother figure. See, when my mom died, other women stepped up. Even when my mom went to a nursing home, my grandmother stepped right up into that motherly role. I moved in with her, and she had the wonderful task of raising a young, hormonal teenage boy who didn't have a mother or really a father of his influence. I would say, I could have been wild. Yes, she also read her Bible. I have it in my office. She had to recover it twice, but you know what she also did for me? She held my feet to the fire. She said, you ain't going out tonight. You're not having those friends. You're not putting that sticker on your truck. You're going to church with me. And she just held a standard. She taught me so many beautiful things as a mother figure in my life. Maybe your mom is not that prominent person, but maybe it's a mother figure. See, when I was in college, it transitioned from my grandmother because she got sick and my mom had died. My cousin stepped up. Her name is Janice. She's like a mom to me today. She taught me responsibility, like how to wash your clothes. I know it's late, but at least it happened, right? Washed my clothes in college. She taught me responsibility. You know what she also taught me? She also taught me to believe what God already believed about me. See, I thought I was dumb because I didn't do good in school. I just thought I was a dummy. And I might be, but she didn't let me believe that. She said, God says you're smart. If you'll try, he'll show you. So I tried, and sure enough, I got a college degree. And I wanted to give up several times through my master's and doctorate, and she'd always be there to push me along. God used her to tell me what he believed about me, and I believe that she's directly responsible for some of the education, in fact, probably all the education that I have today. I wrote down words when I was reflecting on my mom this week and my mother figures in my life. I wrote down words like faithfulness, words like perseverance, meekness, and strength. I want you to think about what your mom has taught you. These are my words. What are your words? Now, take that card that I put in every seat. I didn't put them there, but I had them put there. We got a few minutes. Just take that card. I wrote them down earlier, and I wrote them down here on my iPad. I want you to think about what your mom taught you, what influence she was for you. And if it's not your mom, then it's that woman in your life who was a motherly influence for you. Write down some of those words. We did this in the first service, and listen to some of these things. I love my mom, she is my friend, and she is my mom. That's good. How about this one? Stick-to-itness. Color blindness. Oh, wow. Concern for others. And faithfulness. What are your words? Write it down on those cards I gave you. And I have the children here. While you're doing that, what's so cool, moms, you didn't realize this, but while you are writing down these character words about your mom, in here today, your children were in Kidstown writing these same characteristics about you. So let me see this one right here. Okay, good. Y'all go ahead and put them in there. I got some. Oh, good. Look at these. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Oh, yeah. I'll take them. Here. Look, give me these things. I'll put them in there for you. Y'all give it up for these children. Thank you. All right, while you're thinking about yours, this is my mom is A-S-E-M-E. Awesome. My mom is special. My mom is kind. My mom is P-R-I-T-T-Y. Not pity, pretty. My mom is the best. Challenge me on that. My mom is nice, wonderful. Did you write your words down? Why don't you bring them up here too? Whatever you wrote down about your mom, just take it up here. And I want to read some of these as you're bringing them. Come on, I need you all to do this. Just go ahead and get your pen out if you forgot. Write down the word that represents your mom, or maybe the words that represent your mom to you. And here's what I want you to do. As you're writing it down, I need everybody moving. Come on, bring them up here. You can hand them to somebody if you don't want to walk. Jeff will grab some. Come on, bring these things. As you're thinking about these, as you're writing them down, I want you to commit to not forsake your mother's teaching by living these things in your life. Well, this is like a note here, thoughtful. Look at this one. Love, kindness, compassion, strength, and faithfulness. Keep writing and bring them up here. We're going to do something special with all these in a second. So do this for me. Hard work, faithfulness, loyalty, family, love, strength. How about this one? Cleanliness. Yeah, I didn't get that one. No, I think I learned it. Cooking and how to be a mom. How about your mom teaching you how to be a mom? I love that. This is just one. My mom taught me the importance of love. love and guidance with truth. Christianity, loving, patient, and kind. You getting the idea? Keep writing and bring them up here. She taught me how to be kind to others, how to have strength, and how to have a love for God. I don't know about you, but my heart is just being blessed right now. Trust, faith, hope, and love. Love, kindness, compassion, strength, and faithfulness. This is awesome, church. This is a good way to honor your mom, but we're gonna take it to the next level this morning. You notice, moms, on your way in today, we usually hand you a carnation or a gift, and we didn't do that today, and we're not trying to hurt you, but we want to, instead of just giving you a gift today, we wanted to give a gift in honor of your mother. We wanted to give a gift to an organization in Waxahachie that represents Ellis County called First Look, who supports these new mothers and potential mothers by allowing them to see an ultrasound of their child, to hear that heartbeat, to see that child in their womb. If they're thinking about an abortion, I want to tell you, many times it changes their mind. God is using them. So in honor of your mother, in honor of these words that reflected her character, we wanted to give a $1,000 donation to First Look. So come up and receive this gift today, please. I'll meet you down here. Thank you, Donna. We love y'all and what you do. Donna and another member of her team are going to be out here in Welcome Hallway. Y'all can come meet with her, find out more, make more of a donation. And one more time for First Look. Thank you. Here's where that $1,000 came from the proceeds of that shirt that we've been selling and the money that we would have used for you receiving a gift. And I think that's a pretty good way to honor your mom so that those children can be born, and maybe 10, 20, or 30 years from now, those children could sit in a service like this and write these kind of words about their mom. I want to pray over these moms and these characteristics today that you don't forsake her teaching. Can I pray for you? God, I thank you of this box that we have before us today that's full of these words like faithfulness, meekness, gentleness, compassion, kindness, strength. I think I even saw one there that said stubbornness. That's good too, Lord. I thank you for these mothers who have taught us these things, that they taught us to fear the Lord. They taught us so many other principles, and I pray that we would honor them today and bring glory to your name by not forsaking their teaching. God, that we would take their teaching with us as we leave here. God, would you bless First Look, Don, and everybody else that works there? And I pray for those mothers that walk in there, like Brandon's mother walked in so many years ago. And you do whatever you got to do through an ultrasound, through a conversation, through a gospel presentation, to speak hope and life into that mother's life. And God, I'm reminded right now just to pray for those who are here that may have had an abortion, may have had a family member that had an abortion. God, I pray that they would see right now in this moment that there is hope and life after the abortion. Why? Because there's forgiveness, because of the gospel, because there's restoration. And God, those who are in here that have experienced abortion, that have found hope in a relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, praise you for them. But God, maybe there's some that haven't found hope because they haven't trusted, and they're still bearing the weight of the guilt. God, would you show them the power of the gospel? Help them to believe it. And if they already believe it, let the truth of the gospel wash over them as they just give that to you. You give them forgiveness. You give them hope and restoration. And let them know, God, from my heart personally, as Todd Gray, the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church, I am here for them. God, if they'd like to talk about that struggle, my office will be available and it'll be a safe place for them. Speak that into their heart today.